previously on WTF at TFW.
Hey, did you guys miss me yet?
If you didn't bring me a present, I don't want to hear about it.
Okay, Gogdug, enough with the Holly.
In recent news, podcaster Vangelis has publicly elevated his extreme fetishism to new heights this week.
Lafo, drop the gun!
Vangelis!
7 asterisks, followed by another 7 asterisks.
F***ing Holly. Hi everyone, my name's Vangelis, and I like to run this little Transformers podcast here on TFW 2005. It's called WTF at TFW, and I'm your host, and this shaking and plastic clattering you're going to be hearing for the next hour or two is going to be me messing around with my new toy I got in the mail today. But that aside, with me here today is Gogdog.
Hello, Vangelis.
Hi, Gogdog.
Hi, how are you today?
I am doing fine today.
Good.
Excellent. Also here today is Seth Buzzard.
Howdy.
Hi there, Seth Buzzard.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm tired, but that's my problem, not yours. At least I'm not sick like I was last time. Ugh.
Oh, podcasting sick is never fun. You don't have to do it if you're sick, you know. You can always say, I have a note from the doctor.
Oh, I wasn't that sick. I just felt kind of cruddy and my throat hurt a little bit. But it's not like I was throwing up or nothing. That would be fun, though.
Yeah, I think. And also here, returning from his long educational hiatus, is none other than Druido.
Hey, what's happening? How you guys been doing? Oh my god! Oh yeah, that's right. Back in town, ready to rock. I got notes for this one. I'm pumped.
Oh, man. It's good to have you back, sir.
Thank you. Feels good to be back. It's like I never left. We were joking about that before we started.
But now we're repeating it because we want the listeners to take part. Anyway, yeah. Let's start off with our big named topic for this week, which is that we now have seen Masterpiece Rodimus Hot Prime Convoy Rod in color, and we've seen that he is confirmed to transform from Hot Rod to Hot Rod Car to Rodimus Prime Truck to Rodimus Prime, or any permutation therein that you choose. We've also seen that he is indeed colored like Hot Rod, to the oddly enough, the chagrin of several people in the thread, which I thought was quite funny. Drew,
Hi.
You're back, and you haven't been around for us talking for hours on end about this Masterpiece Rodimus, and I know that you kind of, you know, sort of dig Rodimus to a degree.
Totally.
As a casual fan. So, how do you feel about Masterpiece Rodimus, seeing him in color and seeing that he is actually colored like Rodimus?
Complete shock. I was thinking, you know, Titanium Menasor colors, you know, something just crazy. But nonetheless, it's awesome that he looks and kind of transforms like Rodimus. I do have a few things. I'm not a whiner, but I do have a few things in mind in terms of that. Number one, the carb mode looks a little bit off. I know that's exactly what it looks like in the cartoon, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of so used to the Rodimus toy having the wings kind of closer to the car. It kind of looks like it's, you know, falling off in the back. I also have no idea how it shifts into Rodimus Prime mode. Like, I'm looking at a comparison picture, and it boggles my mind how it's...
Oh, do we have a treat for you?
Gog has been part of a lengthy, I would actually go so far as to say, scientific discovery team who have been sussing out exactly how this toy works.
Well, I've seen from the... Well, not the vehicle mode, from the robot mode to robot mode, which is odd to me. Is that what you guys have been looking at? Because I've been following that Valky sauce, Fred.
They've kind of figured out the vehicle-to-vehicle, too. I think the current theory is you drive the hot rod car frontwards into the trailer, and then the back of it turns into the front of the Rodimus thing by having bits come out or something like that.
Yeah. It looks like the cab for the Rodimus Prime mode car is actually folded away under the trailer. So when you pull him out, he's just Hot Rod. But when you drive him in front into the trailer, and then the cab folds out from under the trailer and goes over the back of the car to form the truck cab, and the spoiler just rotates around 180 degrees.
Yeah, I was following that thread while at work. So I wasn't doing work, but I was following that thread. My question is, like, how does his helmet become bigger? And how do his shins somehow become longer in Hot Rodimus Prime Robo Mode?
I don't think any of those get bigger. It's just his face changes, and there's something in his waist or his thighs that extend that make him a little bit taller. But that's really it between the two modes.
Yeah. And what do you call it? Kind of creepy. The fingers. Has anyone talked about this recently? The fingers are a little creepy. Creepy, guys. Look like hoses.
Yeah, I think the theory is they made it so that the hands are going to be able to grip a matrix. That's what it's looking like, but we have yet to see any type of matrix.
He's got a case of hose finger.
That was a James Bond villain, wasn't it?
No, that was nose that was finger.
That was a porn star. It was a porn star.
Hose finger.
Hose finger. Something like that.
I can dig it.
Actually, that was exactly it.
I saw that movie when I was a child.
Part of my childhood. Took you to see that movie, your parents?
Yes. I had very open-minded parents. Thank you. Thank you.
Canada.
Gog, as one of our resident Masterpiece Rodimus theologists, what are your thoughts on the colored version?
Looks pretty good. I mean, it was a little gratifying to see that most of our theories in that thread came true. I mean, granted, I'm not one of the main people that came up with that stuff. Like Drew said, there's a Valkesis and Protostar 8 and a few other guys that really got down deep into it. I saw a couple little things, but those guys are the ones who deserve most of the credit. But it was really awesome to see because, okay, when we saw the first pictures coming out since the last time we talked about it, actually, I think it was the first color pictures, actually, what they showed, only showed the Rodimus Prime vehicle mode and Rodimus Prime robot. And a lot of people jumped in and pointed fingers and were like, haha, no convoy or no Hot Rod mode. You guys were wrong. And then, like, the next day, Hot Rod, there he is. So, you know. It was just a little gratifying just for the fact that we found all this stuff and it wasn't pie in our face. Like, yeah. It could have happened, but it didn't. And so it was just fun to be able to say that, like, all these things that everybody came up with turned out to be almost entirely right. And it was just, it was just a neat process seeing people dissect all these pictures and, you know, the first pictures we got were kind of crappy, and then people realized that other people on the internet wanted better pictures, so the people who were going to these conventions were taking pictures from as many angles as they could and putting them up in giant galleries for people to dissect, and the fact that the people on the boards got so much of it right is just, it's just really a fun thing to watch from beginning to end, and I'm glad that it had a happy ending, because if there wasn't any Hot Rod mode in there, then it would have been really depressing for everybody who had been following that thread for the past many weeks. So, but yeah, it looks great. Now I guess the question is what kind of accessories it's going to come with, because it seems like the longer the Masterpiece line goes on, kind of the more ridiculous and obscure the accessories get. especially with Grimlock, like, you have the brain bucket, the apron and bow tie, just off the wall stuff that you only saw in like one episode. And like, what are they going to do with Hot Rod? Because there's so many other things we can do. We got confirmation on the visor gimmick. So, is he going to have the little gimmick with the saw blade pop out? Is
sword,
he going to get
sword and shield too?
Yeah. Sword and shield, like the lightsaber, the fishing pole, like even a lot of people are convinced that the canopy on that cab in Hot Rod mode can open. So, Starscream came with a Dr. Archival. Why can't Hot Rod come with a little Daniel figure in there?
And will that little Daniel have a hoverboard? And then will there be a little kendo sensei to go with him to tell him about his giri?
The hoverboard would be cool, but I think it would make more sense for him not to be posable, more along the lines of Dr. Archival. But if he came with a little fishing pole, if he's already in a sitting position like Dr. Archival for sitting in the cockpit, then you could also make him sit on the edge of something with hot rod, and you could both have him sitting there with their fishing poles, because he'd already be in the position. You just need a little fishing pole to plug into his hand.
Ah.
So who knows?
I think that was also a line from Finger Notes.
From Hose Finger?
Hose Finger. Plug the fishing pole in.
He's already in a sitting position. All you have to do is plug.
He hasn't lost it, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom. Seth, how do you feel about the now colorful Masterpiece Rodimus, and are you angry that he's colored like Rodimus Prime?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, who's upset that the colors are correct?
I'm not sure if it's really the colors overall, but I just remember there were a lot of people saying,
they just wanted it to be gray.
It looks too boring, or, it doesn't look right, and,
Masterpiece Rodimus looks like Rodimus.
That's where I'm coming from, yeah. I'm paraphrasing things. I apologize, guys. I know you didn't really think the colors were dumb, unless you did. And if you did, please post in the thread, because I'd like to see what your name is.
Well, I know Proto Man is fond of saying that. So what does he always say? Like, red doesn't mean hot rod. So was he one of the people that was upset? He wanted to prove that?
Oh, yeah. Proto Man's the biggest opponent of this Masterpiece Hot Rod Rodimus.
No, this was going to be the time where they break the mold and they could prove that hot rod doesn't equal red. Because that's a big opportunity. But yeah, kind of what Drew was commenting on, it looking a little odd. It does look like maybe they're just not lined up right, but his the pipes that run down the side of the car, the exhaust pipety things, it looks like they're tilted down.
Yeah, I think that's just a mistake.
They're just not straight. Like, they rotate, and they just didn't straighten them out right. But yeah. And then with the black line around the flame on his chest, is that a black outline or is that a gap?
I'm pretty sure it's a black outline, because I think we would have seen the gap in the gray prototypes if that was going to be cut to open.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But I'm just speaking for myself, I would not expect that to open up in the shape of a flame.
Yeah. Well, and at least now that I'm looking at it more in the hot rod mode, there is a gap where, like, panels are kind of separated a little bit, so then, like, where the flame is, then, yeah, that wouldn't work out. So, yeah, it must just be painted. But no, he looks cool. I don't mind how the car is a little bit different looking, like Drew. I know Drew's really upset about it and barely containing his rage. But, no, this is really cool, and I am excited to see what kind of nutty accessories he comes with.
Yeah, I am excited to see more of this guy. I think that now I've hit that point where I'm kind of like, all right, we've seen enough of him. Sell him. Like, I'm sure they can't yet for many reasons, but I'm now all ready for them to just, start putting this guy in shipping containers and get him out here. I want one.
I'm just really appreciative that I was allowed to say anything about it.
Oh, no, that's all right. I'm trying to go for equal rights for all levels of Rodimus fan.
Because I know I'm too stupid to usually talk about it. But
I tried to avoid saying all levels of intellect.
You weren't stupid, you were just ignorant. But
you were just ignorant.
In the following week since that bit, you have been educated just by being on the episode and hearing us speak.
Oh.
So
you have been educated.
Educated.
The only thing that I really want to point out about this guy, aside from all the stuff I like about him, is that on the hot rod car mode, again, this is totally, I'm sure there are perfectly good reasons for it, and I'm probably getting it wrong, but I kind of wish that the front hood was a little bit shorter. Seems a little longer than I would have liked, but that's really it. And maybe it's because I'm staring at the animated Rodimus, and his hood is not quite as long, so that could be it too. I might be influenced by newer media, which makes me not a proper hardcore 80s fan. But let's see what happens. There'll be more pictures of this guy coming out, I am sure. So aside from Masterpiece Rodimus, let us pick out some other new pictures and talk about them. Seth.
Oh, boy. I just got home moments ago. So
did you?
Yeah, like right before we started. So maybe come back around and I'll have a little more time to find something.
That I can agree with. Okay.
Please.
Let's roll the dice. GOG.
I've kind of forgot what I was going to pick, and I am going to look through it real quick, and I'm just going to randomly pick. I'm going to pick the Wonderfest Headmasters, third-party custom exclusive to the festival, and they look pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
And it looks like they're basically the original Headmasters, but with an updated mold, and they look pretty cool. Like, the one guy has, like, actually little legs instead of just a block down there.
And pointy shoes.
So, yeah. So, I would like to see more of stuff like this that are interchangeable with old school figures.
This looks like something right up Head Robot's alley.
Yep. So,
I think that's kind of interesting because they say it's third party but licensed, so it's kind of the equivalent of like those companies that make the Revenge of the Fallen like kid bowls and cups and stuff and silverware. But instead of making that kind of stuff, they're actually making toys. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
it kind of gives a little bit of officiality to it, if that's the word.
Yeah, sure. If not, you just invented it. It's one of those weird situations where, because Japan has these huge toy festivals that everybody from all over the country goes to, and they get these weird, like, one-day licenses, and they're allowed to sell these things for one day.
And yeah, Jizai gets these all the time.
Yeah, it's such a strange concept, but it's still awesome. It's like, I want to do a limited run of this, so I'll buy a one-day license to make these official products, and then after that, they're just going to go for crazy amounts on eBay and Yahoo Japan.
Yeah, and usually when someone does an actual licensed Wonderfest exclusive, they usually make like maybe 10, maybe 20. So they don't make nearly as many as a lot of folks would probably hope, but it is a really cool idea. And this is the kind of thing where I always kind of wish I could go to a Wonderfest and just like, you know, run roughshod all over the place, pretend I'm Japanese, because they always think I'm Japanese when I'm there, the one time I was there, and then grab some resin. Drew.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Well, I've got this thing, and it's kind of my third choice, but it's the Activator's Ironhide picture. He kind of, and if you're looking at this picture, it's the kind of the close-up of his head. Does he, or does he not kind of look like movie Optimus Primal a little bit? And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So that's why I picked that.
Oh, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the cow face going on quite as much. It's a little bit flattened out.
Eesh.
Yeah, it does look more of like a faceplate. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's pretty good. I thought that was a nice. It was a random pick, but also at the same time, I had a reason for it. So.
Well, it's also slight news in that they are doing an Activator's Ironhide. Unfortunately, he's looking like he's carrying on that kind of sad tradition of the movie Activators not being quite as cool as the animated ones. But
yeah, the animated Activators like were part of the line, like they're like Cliff Jumper. You weren't replaced. That was a perfect way to include him in that line. Whereas these kind of, I don't know, they're not quite a replacement for anything else, and they're not quite a on their own standalone. Maybe we need like an Activators Wheelie or something like that to be the Wheelie or something. I don't know.
And they got a really weird aesthetic too, because they're all kind of like the head's kind of big and the torso is kind of small, but not. I don't know. They're weird. They mess with my sensibilities, and I'm going to stop looking at it now. Seth, have you found a picture yet?
I suppose. I didn't really see anything too interesting from the front page, so nothing kind of newsy. So I jumped over to Radicons and I skimmed through there real quick.
Cool.
This fella, Axom.
Axom. Axoff.
Anyway, I'm sure it's probably Axiom. So this guy came up with a modification to War for Cybertron Bumblebee to make him shorter than Optimus Prime, which is basically disassembling his legs and then just hacking a chunk out. And that made him shorter. So if you really want your Bumblebee to be shorter than Optimus, then you could do that. Although it does seem to throw his proportions off a little bit.
He's got long arms now.
Yeah, so he kind of has big gorilla arms.
Oh, wow. What's funny is because someone made a mod last week, maybe about the same time this came out, that made Optimus's legs longer.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So it elongates the knee. I guess you can combine them. But yeah, I think the Bumblebee is better because the Optimus with the longer legs looks really weird because he has this big kind of hinge that's exposed. And the Bumblebee one, I think, is aesthetically, it looks a lot better. So yeah, this is cool.
The Bumblebee one's kind of funny, though, because usually the mods are to make guys, you know, I'm going to make my toy a bit bigger, a bit taller. This is the one where it's like, we got to modify this guy to be shorter, so cut his shins.
Yeah, and Bumblebee, I mean, his legs are kind of spindly, especially with how large his back is with, like, this big turtle shell that he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the legs actually look kind of better shorter, but they're just... If the arms were shorter, too, it would probably work out a little better. And then make his head a little bit smaller, because now it looks like he has a big, huge head. But, I mean, it's neat that he still transforms properly, and the hacking his legs out doesn't goof up his ability to transform, which would kind of defeat the whole purpose of having a transformer.
That's what I was wondering about, because his legs are actually kind of involved in the process.
Yeah. Like, I'm so determined that Bumblebee has to be shorter that I'm going to break every other aspect of this thing.
He can't transform, he can't stand, he can't sing, nothing.
No. Also cut out a piece of his throat so he can't talk.
We'll cut those little blades off his wrist so he can't defend himself. He's going dark places. My new pick is a little bit boring. It's more of a PSA. I just want to let you guys know that I am picking a picture of the TFW 2005 Review of Bullets, the trade paperback exclusive short story from The Last Stand of the Wreckers trade paperback, which is now out. So please go buy it. If you've bought the monthlies, then hey, you're getting a new short story and you're getting a much nicer copy to put on your bookshelf. And if you haven't bought the monthlies, then you actually have to go out and buy this, or we're going to come over to your house and rough you up. True story. Me and Gog have been planning this for months.
Yep, I got the rubber gloves already.
Yep, I got the fish bat and I got the rubber tubes. So go buy it. I think generally we've all kind of agreed that Last Stand of the Wreckers is pretty cool. So I don't really know if we have anything to discuss about it. I haven't read the preview for Bullets because I when I go out to pick up the trade paperback, I want Bullets to be a bit of more of a surprise for me. But it's nice that they threw in something else to make the trade a little bit more enticing, because I really want that to do well. And I've had many people ask me to mention it so that it will hopefully do better than it would without me mentioning it, because apparently they think I can influence that somehow.
10 million copies sold! My God!
In the last 5 minutes, we haven't even posted this yet. Damn.
We need some royalty off that.
Nick Roche, get over here and make me a Subway sandwich. Moving along, let's dive right into what we got this week. I got a bunch of stuff, so I know I can talk about something. Drew, I'm curious what you've got this last...
2 months?
2 months, yes.
Sure. Not including BotCon, right? We already discussed that at BotCon. So that's
we ran BotCon. If there's something about your BotCon haul you really do want to bring up, it's okay.
No. So, boom, going to run down this list. Crystal Animatado at the Crystal Animated 2-pack. Booyah, ooh. Loving it. Loving life. Animated Japanese Rodimus is, I think, somewhere in here in this city. About to get to my... apartment. Pre-ordered Rodimus Masterpiece, always fun. X-Force Mini Mates, the San Diego Comic-Con 4-pack. got that little thing that has Deadpool for a cable. So a little non-Transformers going with all the Transformers I've been getting.
Nice.
Also got a 4.0 GPA so far in grad school. That's why y'all been missing me. So don't worry, I've been doing good work. I got a copy of Uncanny X-Men number 300 for 5 cents more than the cover price it was in 1993. So that's a good feeling. then I got also Darkwing Duck, San Diego Comic-Con cover where it's like the Dark Knight. Returns.
How is that? I heard it's good.
Wonderful. It was much better than I expected. It's better than the cartoon. I got the cartoon like 2 or 3 years ago on DVD and couldn't get through like 3 episodes tops. But the comic was actually a fun read, and it really uses the art and panels to make gags and jokes more so than just having like written verbal jokes, which I thought was worked very well because that's how the cartoon was in episodes. And then two things here with my birthday. One of the things was The Adventures of Jell-O Man number 1. Does anybody remember that gem? Anybody? Well, it was my first comic book. The girlfriend found it on eBay for I think like 50 cents, mint condition. So there's actually it's 3 little anthology stories about this guy who's made out of Jell-O. And one of them is written by none other than Kurt Busiek of Avengers fame before he was the writer, like the Kurt Busiek. And then from GOG, I received not only a few days after my birthday, but animated Hot Rod, which I went out looking for when they first came out, and I couldn't find them. And GOG was like, oh, guess what? Happy birthday, you bastard. You 7 asterisk. So I was like, well, yeah. Sick. I was like, awesome. I was like, that's cool. So,
well, there's a funny story behind that because Drew had colored some stuff for me that I'm going to be putting out here pretty soon. But I've been wanting to give him something at least as a preliminary thank you for a while. And so I was going to send him a Legends Rodimus like way back before BotCon a couple months ago. I'd asked him for his shipping address. And then he tweeted out like a couple weeks later, like, yeah, somebody just sent me a Legends Rodimus. I'm like, oh, that sucks. I was going to give him that. I was like, all right, when we get to BotCon, because it's so close, I'm going to buy him a Reveltech Rodimus because he's been tweeting how he wants that. So I see Drew in the dealer room, and in his hand, he has a Reveltech Rodimus that he just bought. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I can't give this guy anything. Like, I want. So, like, soon as he had tweeted, like, man, I can't find. I'm like, dude, do not buy it. I'm going to send you one. I'm going to be pissed if you buy it. Take it, please. Let me give you something.
Well, thank you.
Just happened to coincide with his birthday, so it was a double rainbow.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. It was almost a triple rainbow.
Was it all the way across the sky?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah. Happy birthday, by the way.
Gracias, amigo.
Picked a good month to have a birthday.
Didn't you also recently have a birthday as well?
I did.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. Man, this is a good what we got this week.
Good.
Well, sweet. How are you finding the animated Rodimus?
It's pretty awesome. And now I had the Crystal one for a couple weeks. I watched your review of the Crystal animated 2-pack, which I agree with on most points. A little loose and prime and stuff. So a plug for Vangelis, who really doesn't need a plug for his YouTube account at this point.
Nobody watches my stuff.
Nobody does, do they? And it's cool. Having it in paint is so much better than having it clear. And it's really nice. And it's such an, like, it's simple, but complex transformation that I find myself just putting it back and forth, you know, just sitting there watching TV, muddling with it, and I dig it. It's definitely the best Rodimus, and it's probably going to overtake Masterpiece, even though Masterpiece is more expensive and taken care of. But I mean, how many times do you transform your Masterpiece toys? You know what I mean? They kind of stand there and look really cool, but how many times do you just, you know, sit back and chill with them? So these are cool. Thanks, God Dog, and yeah.
Wicked. Seth, how has your week been in terms of acquiring things?
Well, I went double dip on the Masterpiece Grimlock. Oh. So I got the Toys R Us version also because he has a crown.
I'm right behind you.
And you got King Grimlock too?
No, I got the original Masterpiece release with the apron, and then also the Toys R Us release. So, the first thing that I did with the Toys R Us one was stick my finger in his mouth to see if the teeth were as ridiculously sharp.
First thing I did was stick my finger in his mouth. Good night, everybody.
Nose finger.
Drill bucket. and they're not, but they still look good. But he seems a little floppier and loose than the Japanese one. Like, mm-hmm. some of the parts while I was sort of transforming him seemed to just be, like, flopping around everywhere and kind of getting in the way.
Yeah.
And the tail gimmick seems like, with the Japanese one that I have, at least when I move the tail, the head kind of moves some. And it feels stiff, like I'm working it. But with the Toys R Us one, it's just like, blah, 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 it's just super, the tail's just flying around and the head's whipping around in circles. So, basically, I'm going to be keeping the Japanese one in dinosaur mode with the apron and whatnot, and the Toys R Us one in robot mode with the crown on. So, that's the plan so far.
Nice.
Then I got the iPhone 4, so I took care of that.
Ooh.
Everyone was so wrapped up complaining about the antenna. I had never heard anyone really discuss how slippery that damn thing is. if you get one, whenever you put it down, make sure you are putting it down on a completely flat surface, or it will be on the floor really quick. Let's see. Did I get anything else? I thought I got... Oh, I can't remember.
Did you get your cell phone robot yet?
No. I went to the Japanese consulate and asked them what the hell, and they were like, be right back, and then they never came back.
Said BRB.
Yeah. I was like, WTF, and they were like, BRB, and I was like, ZOMG, and
he was like, then, LOL.
Did you tell them who you are?
They didn't seem to care. But I remember the other thing I got. Here, you get here. That's the other thing I got. I got that Pranicon business.
Oh!
From Big Bad Toy Store. So, that came the other day, but man, I've been getting out of work so late lately, and I've been trying to play this Dead Rising K-Zero. I haven't gotten him open yet. But he looks pretty cool in the box.
I mean, it's not like you don't know what it is. You know, it's a G1 toy.
Well, I can't wait to see for... Oh, yeah, you see, I can see one of the stickers is already, like, peeled up on a corner. And what a bummer that they would cheap out on the stickers.
I feel so less annoyed that I missed out on the pre-order on that now. Because, I mean, I have a G1 one already, but I was like, maybe I can just get a new complete one just for the hell of it. But, like, ah... I don't want to deal with stickers.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll hear about this in a little bit.
Stickers are the dumbest thing.
I know. Paint apps all the way. But was that your week?
I believe so.
Then Gog Dog, tell me all about Piranacon stickers.
I mean, they... You know, I don't know. I'm kind of torn because... just like Seth's, mine were peeling off too, but... Most of them turned out okay. As long as you take your fingernail and kind of flatten them out a little bit, they're not that bad. But they feel like they're made out of paper. Like, they're not glossy stickers like most of the G1 stickers are on the sheet. They feel like they're made out of paper. And it's just, I don't know. They feel really cheap, like something you'd put on a candy toy or something. And it's kind of depressing. And I don't remember if the stickers were the same on the Insecticon reissues that just came out a few... months ago, but I know that people were complaining about those. I never even put those stickers on. I left them naked. But the other than that, though, I'm actually really glad that I picked up this set. I think for $60 to get a six-bot combiner, I'm really happy. I've never had the Seacons before, and I mean, I've seen pictures of them. I know what they are, but getting them in hand and posing them around, if this was like Superion or something, like, if you know, you have these kind of doofy looking planes, like, okay, but the fact that these guys are just these weird little super deformed bipedal monster insect ocean creature things, it's so ridiculous. Like, I love it. It's like they're hunched over like they should be walking on all fours, but most of their front limbs are so small and doofy looking that they can't. So they just like walk around all hunched over, and like just seeing them in their little creature modes and posing them around. And one thing that I'd never really realized about them before is almost every single one of them, I think every one of them except for Tentakill, has an opening mouth. So you can, you know, make them like open their mouth and like hiss at you and stuff. Or I don't know. They're just really fun looking, goofy little bastards. And the fact that each one of them has a third gun mode, you know, you can mix and match your Piranicon, put any limbs wherever, and the odd man out will turn into a different gun. So it's just, I don't know. It's a fun little set.
It's a great gimmick, because it really legitimizes the Scramble City thing, because it's like, now you have a reason to limb swap.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that I got this, and I think that he, just because of these stupid looking, super deformed little sea creature things, like just the looking at him, it's like, that's so ridiculous. It's awesome. So I don't know. He's great. So I'm glad that I got him. I don't know if I'm gonna actually spend the money to get a repro label set. The one sticker did give me a hard time. I can't remember which name the guy is. It was the one that turns into the manta ray, I think.
I got all their names wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care that much. But the one that turns into the ray during the course of just normally transforming him, like one of the parts scraped the sticker and just it like tore like paper, like a piece of construction paper. I don't know. It's just weird. But other than that, I mean, just I haven't had that much problems with the stickers. But I guess time will tell if I decide to actually replace them or not. But yeah. I don't know. I'm still glad that I got the set, and I wouldn't let the fact that those stickers aren't that great, I would not let that dissuade me from getting a set, especially if you don't have the Seacons, because you're definitely gonna regret not picking these up, because even with that flaw at that price, it's still a good deal. But
if you don't have them, for sure grab them, because there are some really just like you said, doofy cool G1 toys.
Yep. So
yeah, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to get it, but like, as I thought about it, I'm like, you know, it's not that much, and, you know, when is that chance going to come around again to get them new and complete and not weird and old with problems and missing parts? And
weird and old.
And yep. Because, you know, when you get old vintage stuff, you don't know where it's been. Like some grubby-ass kid who's been picking his nose and then playing with them, and there's like some ancient 1980s booger stuck to it.
That's added value, man.
Clone someone from that.
Yep.
But I also got animated U.S. Rodimus and Ironhide. Just like Drew said, Rodimus is great. His colors are awesome. He's photogenic. I already talked about him when we talked about the Sons of Cybertron set, but yeah, that is one of the, but that's it might be the best animated deluxe figure made, and it's one of the best deluxes period in recent years, maybe top 10 ever. I guess that, you know, there's no accounting for taste. There's plenty of people out there that don't like animated, but
I mean, well, sheer engineering, you know, when you just think about it as objectively as you can, you're kind of on the mark, I think.
Yep. So I think my previous favorite deluxe from animated before was Blur. And Blur's still pretty high, but I think Rodimus has to beat him out by a little bit. So Ironhide's cool. He's got a little bit of a gap there. I haven't really tried messing with it to see if we can fix that, the one that's right on his chest in front of his face. But Ironhide's cool. I kind of took his little super fist punchy things, and I don't even know where they're at. I don't really care. but the I mean, with Ratchet, it's part of the figure, but so...
These are his hammer hands.
Yeah, but he does... Did he ever have... I mean, I might be wrong, but he never had hammer hands, did he?
No.
I mean, even if he had, like... So, like, if he did just turn his hands, you know, to the iron hide and punched on the battle of whatever it was against Team Char, but I couldn't remember if he did that.
You got a bird.
No, but I did get my third victory toy. I got Holly, and
finally,
it was really MicroMaster Stakeout. But there's literally zero difference between them at all. Not even paint apps, nothing. So he's my Holly, and man, I forgot how small MicroMasters are. Like, Holly, I have several MicroMasters, but for some reason, like, when you look at pictures, they always seem bigger than they really are. So when you get them, they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot how tiny these guys are.
I love that set as a kid, those four MicroMasters. Like,
the rescue team?
A great set.
Fix it?
Absolutely. He was Ratchet for me as a kid. I didn't have Ratchet. There you go.
I hate Fix It, but I'm biased.
Oh, you don't hate Fix It. But I just finished up a because I had watched Victory months ago, but something came up, like it might have been a video game or something, and I didn't finish it. I got a good way through it and then kind of stopped. So a few weeks ago I decided to pick it up again from scratch, and like, man, I really love Victory. I mean, it has its flaws, but it's a really fun show. And Holly, in case you don't realize, is the he's kind of like the Bumblebee to the USG1, where he's the friends with the human. Mm-hmm. He's got like his human buddy, and they're paired up for most of the show. But the MicroMasters in that show are a lot of fun. They're kind of like Transformers kids, but they're good at what they do. But they basically do like the rescue and stuff, because they're the rescue team. So when there's disasters and the Decepticons nuke cities and flood cities and attack cities with meteors from orbit, which all that happens, the rescue team goes in and they try to save whatever humans are still alive. And they're fun. The only other thing I got really worth mentioning, it's kind of off topic, but the new G.I. Joe figures, the Pursuit of Cobra. One figure that I've really been looking forward to in that line was the Jungle Viper, because it has this ridiculous looking like.
Oh, that
wing.
Thing is amazing!
Yeah, and I've seen a bunch of them, but I've only got one. I may buy an extra one later, but man, those things are awesome, and it just looks like something out of Metal Gear. And even in the bio, when you read it, like those wings are supposed to be optical camo, so it'll blend in with the environment around it. Like, it'll change its texture, kind of like, you know, something you'd see in Metal Gear. And it's just ridiculous. It's got this giant... somebody showed me a link to the giant sniper rifle that guy carries. It's an anti-tank rifle. So can you imagine some dude sitting in the jungle and sniping you with an anti-tank rifle?
Yeah, you blow in half.
God, you would. You would. It's. I mean, even a 50 caliber sniper rifle will freaking rip you in half. And this thing has to be, I mean, I'm assuming it's bigger than that if it's anti-tank.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so, everything about the figure is ridiculous. I love it.
I think I read on Twitter, I can't remember who said it, apparently the designer was like, yeah, I just had a dream one day.
And Derek J. Wyatt was saying that.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was a great backstory for that. Like, the most talked about weird Kojima-esque G.I. Joe, and the guy like dreamt it up in REM sleep one day and remembered it.
I got
Not only is that dude sniping you with a anti-tank rifle, but he's also covered in Archangel's wings from Marvel Comics.
It's so silly.
And even on his head, he has some wing feathers bits.
Yeah, I got the Recondo too. I don't even care about that character. I never would have bought it, except for he comes with this wooden, like, African native tribal mask. So he has this weird kind of like a jungle Crocodile Dundee hat. He's got a sniper rifle, and he's got this mask. And so he'll just walk around the jungle with a mask that looks like something out of Majora's Mask Zelda game. with a sniper rifle, like, walking through the jungle. And if I saw that, like, he wouldn't even have to snipe me. I think I would just have a heart attack and die. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, some of these G.I. Joe figures, the stuff that they're coming with is just absolutely unexplained craziness, and I love it. But I wish Transformers would start doing that. Like, you'll buy, like, animated Rodimus, and he comes with a bouquet of flowers. And you're like, what? Like, what is this even for?
And then you can, like, you can take it apart, and then they combine into a fishing pole.
That, hey, okay. We should have gotten a fishing scene in animated.
Season 4, man.
Yep.
Actually, I've been seeing a lot of those new G.I. Joes around Walmart, but I haven't seen the Jungle Viper yet. So I'm kind of, I think I might go for that guy. It's hard to resist his wings.
I've only seen Duke and that weird Storm Shadow so far.
Yeah, these guys are in a wave after that.
Did you grab anything else, or was the winged viper the crowning achievement?
Well, the crowning achievement was Holly, but
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's it for now.
Well, I got a bunch of Bugman stuff. And some of it was very expensive, but that aside, all I want to say is I really like it when you buy from eBay sellers who are in Japan, because they just for some reason always put lots of packing material in the box, so I have lots of stuff left over to ship my own things out now. Aside from those, I also went back and I bought the other two Stealth Force trucks I didn't have, so I have Hound and Bumblebee now, and I went and I pulled Hound out, and I went and pulled out Classics Hound, and I size compared them, and Stealth Force Hound is bigger than Classics Hound.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I heard you talking about that in 110, and I saw him again today in the store, and I was like, he's got to be bigger than
Classics Hound. He's not just bigger than Classics Hound. He's friggin' way the hell bigger than every other Stealth Force car, too. He does not fit in at all with anybody. It's hilarious. He's just this giant-ass Jeep with enormous seats. But I still like the toys. They're fun to mess with on my desk, and they are totally just maybe not. If you don't want me to say mask, then they're totally like some strange German toy line I bought when I was in Germany as a kid a long time ago, and I have no idea what its name was, but it was all Mad Max and had cars that did the same sort of thing. I also thanks to actually you see it's a TFW member, but via Facebook, Cook Sucks contacted me and said, hey, you still looking for animated Rodimus and Ironhide? And I said, yes. And he said, he's on the West Coast. So I was like, wicked. You just have to send him up. And so he went to look for them. And then he told me that he found them for 25% off at some Toys R Us. So for $29.01 shipped, I got Rodimus and Ironhide. And that is cheaper than Canadian retail. So thank you, Cook Sucks. He also threw in a bunch of extra bits and bobs from his leftover Marvel Legends stands, because I told him I could use some of those. So good man. And Ironhide, I actually kind of like his hammer fists, only because they painted them all silver and tried really hard to not make them look like paddles, so I gotta give him some credit there. And I love his head, but Rodimus, definitely. Rodimus, animated Rodimus is one of those toys where the next time someone tells me they think Transformers is on a decline, all I'm gonna say is, well, I disagree with you because of this, and show them the toy. It is beautiful, and if any of that style of engineering can carry over into Movie 3 or Prime, or Generations, then we're in a good place. Although I kind of wish now I hadn't got the crystal set that early, because it did kind of diminish getting the proper colored one to a degree, because I knew how he worked now. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And I also got today, in the mail, Crossfire 2, the Explorer and the Munitioner. So another long, lengthy tale of hype and reception has been completed thanks to Fans Project, and they are really, really good. It's actually surprising how all the things I thought might go wrong didn't go wrong, namely the combine mode. It's incredibly imposing, entirely thanks to the fact that they added in shoulder extensions to make his shoulders broader, and it's so tight, like I'm shaking the toy really hard right now. And nothing is falling off, and all of his accessories are plugged onto him. Dead solid toy, really worth the money. The standalone Explorer and Munitioner are also really nicely done figures. My only qualm with them is I wish they had wrist swivels. That's about it. They have tilting ankles, which is beautiful, and they have, like, at least Explorer actually has a ratcheting waist joint. And as a limb, Explorer is great as well. And the cool part is, in the fiction they wrote for these guys, which is actually not written that badly, Explorer is the leader of this combiner team. And I thought that was a neat touch. Explorer is the scientist who developed the technology that had a thing called the Combat Team Colossus. And that was formed with two tanks and two helicopters, like the Revenge of the Fallen Bruticus. And because the AIs could not mesh, it went mad and blew up the lab and blew off two of its own limbs. So as punishment to atone for his crimes and not get put to death by the evil forces he works for, Explorer altered himself into a test subject and got his friend Munitioner to run the weapons and altered him as well. And so Explorer, apparently, like, all the extra blocks you're adding onto the toy are things designed by Explorer to balance the AI synchronization. So I like that they wrote in all these doofy little storyline bits. And also, I like the...
Is that, like, Fans Project's backhanded way of taking a dig at Hasbro by saying, like, all the original Hasbro characters are stupid drones, and our guys are smart, and they made it work?
They're not drones. They're just stupid. But yeah,
They're jerks. They went nuts because they can hack it.
Even Munitioner is not all that cool. Rad. It's like, you know how everyone says Drift is a Mary Sue? Explorer, all right? Explorer is a brilliant scientist who could build himself into his own tragic backstory science experiment and make it better than the Superion one that it was built to fight. So, I don't know. I also like the idea of the arm being a leader. I don't know. That does it for me. But incredibly good set. Aaron just got his. We're probably going to spend another huge amount of time talking about it when he gets his and we meet up for 112. So I'll step back for now. But in combined mode, it is just beautiful to look at. The proportions are marvelous. It's solid. It's heavy. Everything ratchets. He's got shotguns and a rifle. And the ankles tilt inwards. I kind of wish the ankles tilted forward and back on the combined mode, but the sideways tilt is a ratchet, so I don't see how they could have really worked that out. But get it. Are any of you guys going to get it? I forgot.
I'm interested in it. I'm still on the fence. I didn't actually realize it was coming out now.
I'm gonna come over there and shove you off the fence.
Whoa! I've been hemming and hawing about it for a while. If they were each $10 cheaper, it would be a lot easier to pull the trigger. But I mean, they look awesome. When we saw them on display at BotCon, that's when I was like, "Dude, those are dude."
I am going to see what I can do to take everyone who's on the fence and shove them off.
Well, part of the problem also is I would just be getting them to be individual figures because I don't have the rest of the. I don't have that Bruticus Maximus set, so.
I'm curious if there are going to be any customizers who are after extras of the bonus parts, quote-unquote bonus parts, that form the feet and the pelvis and such. Because the guns this guy comes with, they all can be used by the smaller dudes as well, and all the guns, like, collapse and break apart and fold down to be sized for the smaller robots, which is also some just really cool extra bits of engineering. And kitting out Onslaught with, like, Macross missile spam racks and such is kind of cool. And the upside of that is also this Bruticus's feet. His toes fold open to reveal Macross missile spam missile racks, which kind of tickled my fancy. But that is all I got this week, aside from some more of those little candy model kits that I'm going to make Aaron buy from me. Because that's what I do. But it's time for an intermission, ladies and gentlemen. So let us intermiss and empty our bladders and fill ourselves up again with peanuts and lemonade. And then we will be back to discuss some listener questions and maybe even some spoilers.
Look, I understand you want to help out an old mate.
I've seen good men die on this job. Keel over trying to settle old scores. In 10 years, I don't want to see Harry Wolf wandering around like Nipper of a Yard trying to collar Ronnie Biggs. He's too good for that.
If Wolf hasn't managed to catch Malone after all this time, what makes you think you can?
What you'd undoubtedly call my differing method, a logical approach. Here, wait this about a bit when you get inside and try and look after once in your life.
Have you ever heard of Softly Softly?
Yes, but I prefer Zed cars.
Don't
movie surrounded by armed bastards. I said don't move. Be dead.
I know, I don't know, you know. All I'm looking for is something with Skeletor in it. But welcome back, everybody. This is WTF at TFW's Listener Question Corner. And our first listener question this week is from the Nerdformer. And he asks, hey, podcasters, I just have two listener questions. The first of my two questions is this. What was your first Transformer? And, if you remember, how did you get it? Gog Dog. My first Transformer was a bag of chips, and I got it at the corner store today.
No, my first Transformer, Transformer, was G1 Tracks, and I have no idea how I got it. I was like 4 or 5.
No. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have these moments where I try to go back and remember the G1 figures that I had, because I had a lot of GoBots, and had some G1. I can never remember, I see toys and I'm like, I think I had that one. I can't remember because pretty much everything I had as a kid is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything. Like that's all that stuff is long gone. But I do remember Trax was my first G1 figure. But yeah, I have no idea how I came about owning him. I'm sure my parents bought him from the store and gave him to me on Christmas or something. I don't know.
Most likely my parents bought it for me since I was 4. Drew, do you remember your first Transformer or how you got it?
Totally. Absolutely. Windsweeper, my friends, Triggerbat. Yep. That was, odds were a 1 in about 1.7 million that someone would have guessed Windsweeper. But I think I also recounted this story once before. Windsweeper was cool. Yeah, had a Hess truck, fire truck that I pretended was Prime. And then Windsweeper was Starscream. And then eventually we went from there. So Windsweeper played a pivotal role, in my life. And, was actually supposed to be the, Triggerbot that, Cliffjumper runs into in the 2008 Bakkan comic.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that got changed at the last minute because I was talking to Pete and he's like, I need a Trigger Con for Cliffjumper to run into. And I was like, Windsweeper, duh. And he's like, oh, that was your first one? Okay, we'll make it that. And then it wasn't. So whatever. But true story, that's what it was supposed to be.
You just got to make him do Windsweeper as an exclusive later on.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm waiting for that Windsweeper repaint out of anything.
Generations Windsweeper.
Generations Deluxe Windsweeper. Intermediate to Advanced.
Level 2. Seth, what was your first Transformer? How did you get it?
Well, back in them days, my grandma and aunt would just send money to my parents. And for our birthdays, and then have them take us to Toys R Us and let us pick stuff out, which was an awesome birthday tradition that I miss. Like, here's money, go spend it.
All right.
That was good times as a kid. Like, having the run of Toys R Us, how great was that when you were a little kid, basically?
Hell yeah.
So, Transformers and GoBots had just started, and I was on a school ski trip, and some kids had, I know one kid had like 5 GoBots, and it blew my mind. Like, I didn't even know about Transformers yet, and this was my first experience with GoBots. So I was like, dude, it's a toy car and a plane, and they turn into robots, and this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened. And then, like, right after we got back from the trip, started seeing commercials for Transformers on TV. It's like, dude, those are way bigger and crazier than those GoBot things. Like, this is the... What's happening? So, when we get to Toys R Us a couple months after that, because birthday time, you hit the Transformer section, it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. So, I had enough money to get Skywarp and Thundercracker. And I don't know why I got 2 exactly the same ones. I think I had some idea in my head that that jets were cool. And that at the time my favorite color was blue, and my brother really liked the black one, so I was kind of sharing with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my dad tried to talk me into getting two that weren't exactly the same, I didn't listen. So I was stuck with two Decepticons for a while, and then about a week later, one of my little friends for my birthday gave me a Ironhide. So that was my first Autobot, was Ironhide. So, wow. Yay. But it was something for my Decepticons to fight.
I actually know a lot of the details of my own story because I interrogated my mom about them when I was a teenager, when I started going to BotCon and realized I really liked Transformers. And I was like, how did this become part of my life? So I kind of shook her down for info after school. And basically, when I was a baby, that's when Transformers were starting to come out because I was born in 84. And my mom saw them and she thought they were amazing. So my very first two toys were Leader One and Wreck-Gar. And she specifically bought them, Leader One, because she didn't know if that thing was, if these GoBot things were better or not. And she bought Wreck-Gar because apparently when I was a toddler and I saw Wreck-Gar in the store when I was, what, like two, I really reacted well to Wreck-Gar. And so that was my very first Transformer, along with Leader One, who is going to be a Transformer for the purposes of this question. So it's all because of my mom. Everything you're all being subjected to, the horrible, egotistic might I am whipping left and right all over this podcast, all over YouTube, etc., is all because of my mom. So if you want to go back in time and fix everything, you will have to sterilize my mother. True story. Almost happened once.
Consider it done.
Boom! All right, next question from the Nerdformer. The second question in this semi-epic duo is as follows. Do you have any interesting stories of interactions with parents or adults in a store while buying TFs or other toys? And I'll say right now, I won't just repeat that one from, like, what, episode four? Of when I came across...
I'm making
it rain! Yeah, I came across that mother who gave me the dirty look, and I was all like, what? And I come here with my own goddamn money! Buy my own goddamn toys. Yeah, I won't say that one again. Gog, do you have any interesting stories of interacting with adults in stores?
No.
Oh. Are you sure? Not even, like, maybe this one time? When? Ellipses?
Actually, okay. I do have a recent story.
See, I draw it out of you. I'm like a muse.
No, I was actually... I forgot this happened. When that new wave of Joes came out, like I was talking about the Jungle Viper, when wave one came out, I saw them there, and I saw the Alley Viper, and I was like, that dude looks kind of cool. He's got a big riot shield and everything. So I grabbed the Alley Viper, and I was sad that they didn't have a Firefly, because I tend to, if I see a Firefly, I get him, because I think Firefly is kind of neat. But they didn't have a Firefly, so there was a guy there who was with his, I thought was his son. It turned out to be his little brother. He was buying some Joes as well. And we were in the toy aisle together. Didn't really say a whole lot. When I was in the line, the guy saw me set the Alley Viper down. And he's like, oh, he's like, I didn't see that guy there. He's like, that one looks kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, it looks neat. You know, a lot of has a lot of accessories and stuff. And he's like, have you seen that Firefly? And I was like, yeah, actually, I was looking for the Firefly. They didn't have him, so I'm just going to grab the Alley Viper instead. He's like, he kind of looks over either shoulder, looks back and forth. He's like, he kind of nods his head in this direction. He's like, come with me, bro. And I was like, I was like, did you hide it? He's like, yeah, I hid it. And I was like, oh, cool. So, and he took me back and back to the toy aisle, and he hid it in a bunch of old Marvel Universe figures that hadn't been selling. And he's like, here you go, man. He's like, I was gonna post it for somebody else, but he's like, you're here and you want it, man, so I'm gonna hook you up. I was like, okay, that's cool. Thanks, man.
And then did he ask for like an extra 10 for the info?
No, I actually was gonna, because he had seemed interested in the Alley Viper. I was like, do you want the Alley Viper? And he's like, nah. He's like, I'm already broke, man. He's like, I work at a flea market. He's like, we sell toys there. He's like, if I had gotten my unemployment check, I would have bought everything in here, but I haven't gotten it yet, man. So he's like, you can have it. And I was like, thanks, I guess.
Wow. I'm glad that we were able to get that story out of you. That's kind of neat. I like it when people go and share their hiding places. Drew, do you have any interesting stories of encountering parents and or adults?
I mean, I remember as like a kid, I would like just getting asked like by like a parent who was like buying a toy for their kid for their birthday, but knew nothing about their A, their child, or B, what they were buying their child. They're like, do people like these things? Would my kid like these things? And as like an 8-year old, I'm like, well, you know, the X-Men Beast is pretty rare. You should get him that one. And the kid probably hated like, X-Men. But I remember that happening. I don't have too many interactions. I try to make it brief. I kind of look, see if, you know, I don't know if there's anything there. And then I kind of piece out to a different section if need be. Nothing too special. That comes to a recent memory. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's either going to be there or it's not. Although I could try drawing something out. Let's see if I can do the ellipses. Anything there?
No.
Ah, damn. Seth, do you have any interesting stories of encountering parents who may have also been adults?
I don't know if I told this one already, like in a past episode, but there's this little toy store downtown. When they first opened, they had like Transformer movie stuff because the first movie had just happened, and then they had classics for a little while. So I would go like scope them out, and sometimes they'd have Star Wars stuff. And so I go and I look, and there's nothing there, and I'm just getting ready to leave, and this lady goes, or she stops me, and she goes, do you know where this was made? I'm like, I don't even remember what she was holding. I'm like, probably China. She goes, I won't buy anything made in China. Do you think there's anything here not made in China? I'm like, probably not. And like, this was right when all that, like, all those, Mattel figures were being recalled.
All the lead paint?
Yeah, they're made out of raw sewage or whatever the deal with lead paint or whatever the problem was. And like Hasbro hadn't had any problems at all. Oh yeah, it was like a Star Wars figure or something. It was something from Hasbro. And I'm like, well, you know, I know Mattel's had a lot of trouble with stuff from China, but like so far it seems that Hasbro stuff's much safer and they don't have any problems. And she's like, no, it's not just about that. It's just I won't buy anything made in China. I'm like, well, good luck getting through life because 99% of everything's made in China. And then I just left. That's
she almost. I was gonna say, she almost sounds like that weird lady. I guess I have kind of another story. I've already told it though. But when we were at BotCon 09, I went with Super underscore Megatron and Tony Bacala to Target to because I needed to buy an extra suitcase.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and this yeah. And this lady was like, she's talking to Tony, who is the owner of TFW2005.com, and she's like, you're looking at those Transformer toys, huh? And he was like, yeah. He's like, we're here all here at a convention, so and he's like, I'm just seeing what they got in the store. And she says, yeah. She's like, you shouldn't be supporting those. She's like, oh no. She's like, are those toys Japanese? And he's like, yeah, a lot of them are designed in Japan, yeah. And she's like, you shouldn't be supporting Japan like that. He's like, all that money is just financing Japan. So when they take when they take over the world, and Tony just kind of his eyes get big and he nods and he's like, uh huh. He's like, so Hasbro is like financing the overthrow of the world or whatever. And she's like, not Hasbro, just Japan in general. And Tony was like, uh huh. And I'm just sitting here watching. Like both the expression on his face and Super Megatron, and it was a pretty grand moment.
That's kind of amazing. I like the part where she's like, oh no, it's not Hasbro. No, like she's clearing that up before you get the wrong impression.
Well, I could kind of understand how you can make some political and economic arguments about China, but it's like, who's still hung up on Japan? My grandma carried a lot of hard feelings for her 88 years of life holdover from World War II, but, I mean, come on. Like, who's still, like, besides people who don't know how to let go, who's still like, Pearl Harbor! Don't buy nothing from Japan, they're sneaky. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, if Pearl Harbor got bombed like a couple years ago, yeah, but all the people who made any of those choices are either old and decrepit, no longer in power, or dead. You know, it's a whole different world with whole different people living their lives. Those people do not exist anymore.
I can't talk to you any longer. I'm on the way to Hawaii to protest them building a sushi restaurant next to the Pearl Harbor.
That's far too topical. I don't know what you're talking about. Aside from my little story I said at the beginning, I don't really have many stories of talking to adults and or parents in toy aisles, because either like I don't see them, or I'm just not very social in Toys R Us, and apparently people in my town are not very social either. So no one really talks to me except for I have one story that's only half a story, which is that the other day when I was going to find those Stealth Force things, I also wanted to see if they had that Stealth Force Prime, because I wanted to see how it works, because I hadn't seen one in person yet, and I remembered there was one there. And also I wanted to see how much it was, and sadly it was like $30, and I was like, that's not going to fly. But I went over, and I was like, oh, hey, there it is. And then these two kids and their dad like ran right past me, and then the kids ran right up to it and just pushed the button 100 million times. And I was sitting there, and the dad looked like he was really tired and was waiting for his kids to get moving, and I was like, all right, I'm going to give him his space so he can work out his father stress and let his kids push the button 100 times. So what didn't happen was I didn't walk up right behind his kids and loom over them and watch them play with the toy like a creep. Push the button some more. I want to know what it... Listen, I review toys on the internet.
I got a lot of toys back at my place.
I'm allowed to do this. I'm a professional.
If you want to... I got a video camera.
It's
a whole bunch of... a whole bunch of Japanese bug men, if you know. Wink, wink.
You want to just cover yourself in them like you're on, that island with the little people? It'll be good times. But that didn't happen, unfortunately, so I don't have a very good story to share here. Sorry about that, the nerd former. Moving on to our next listener question. It comes to us from Slayer's Hoop. He says, quote, these questions could be for either team. Number one, what do you guys think of a convention like CybCon, i.e. a small-scale community-based event? And for reference, if you didn't hear my convention prep supplemental with the organizer of CybCon, it's basically a one-town convention meant mostly for the locals or folks from nearby towns, with the goal of not hitting gigantic attendance numbers, just maintaining a nice kind of constant low attendance where it's all friendly and just a bunch of dudes and whatnot hanging out talking about robots. So what do you guys think of those small scale events? Drew?
Honestly, it's kind of one of those things where unless I know somebody that's kind of going, I'm not too in the mood to go. I don't know. Like when I went to the Philly meetup, I think it was like early last year, it was cool because I knew some of the people that were going. But if I didn't and I kind of went and it takes me a while to get into a group. It took me like 4 BotCons to finally meet some of you guys. So I'm for it for the people that enjoy it and that can't make it out to the bigger events. But if I'm gonna spend my money, I'm going to BotCon or something big like that, TFCon, you know what I mean?
I'm guessing for context, what if there was like a local tiny convention like in your town that met every year?
I mean, I might stop by, but it wouldn't necessarily be on the top. Like, I mean, God, the Transformers movie has been filming here for the past 2 months, and I've barely stopped by.
You're
so.
Not going out to get us crappy cell phone footage of cardboard robot heads on pipes?
Oh, you mean you were interested in all that? I could have been getting all that stuff for weeks.
You could have found 4 more maybe hot rods by now.
What? I'm such an idiot.
You're never gonna get news credits at this rate.
I'm gonna get negative news credits.
All right.
I'm gonna get lose credits.
Seth,
L-E-W-S. Go ahead, sorry.
Seth, what do you think of small-scale events, perhaps ones that might be local to you?
Well, if there was a local one, I would probably swing by. I mean, I don't know if I'd make the whole weekend out of it, but I'm kind of thinking a smaller event is kind of just going to be like a 1 day deal anyway.
Usually,
and,
yeah.
Like it's just going to be like a dealer room kind of situation. I went to a comic book and card show that was local years ago, and it turned out just to be like nothing but baseball cards. And like one guy in a corner had, he was like selling off his old comic collection. So it's like, oh, it's just a bunch of stuff from like the last year and a half kind of a deal. And man, one dude was uptight. So this is like mid-90s. I'm going to tangent. I'm going to tell this story just because
it's all right.
It always stuck in my head. So it was the very first set of trading cards DC was putting out during that time period. And the chase cards were holograms, right? And you can tell what packs had the hologram cards in it based on how the end of the little bag was sealed. Like, there was a ridge where the plastic wrapper is pinched shut and, like, melted closed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the size of the ridge gave away if the cards were in there. Like, if the ridge was bigger and fatter, then they had holograms in it. And if it was thin, then it was just a regular pack. And also, all the holograms were on the top of the box. Like, the first four packs, when you opened the box, were the holograms.
Oh.
So, comic book stores in the know they'd open a box and they'd mix them up. Or if they were shifty, they would pull out all the hologram ones, open them up, and sell the holograms individually for way, way more. So we're in this thing, and like, there's nothing there that we're interested in because we're comic book geeks at the time. And I see this dude selling the DC cards, and I'm like looking at them, like I'm picking up packs, and I'm seeing how fat the ridges were. And the dude knew that there was a way to tell, but he didn't know what the way was, and he got super pissed at me because he could tell that I was looking. He's like, if you want one, you just take whatever's on the top. Like, it's not fair to, like, be trying to feel them or nothing. I'm like, all right, dude. I'm like, did you mix them up when you opened it, or did you just... I just opened it. I'm like, well, then there's nothing in there anyway later, and I walked away. I guess that could have gone a little bit with the other question, but...
Well, I mean, that's at a convention. Yeah, in the middle of a toy aisle. The store manager's just sitting there.
What are you doing? I'm seeing if the paint apps on this one is better than this other
one. Take the one on the
top. It's not fair to everybody else. Just take the one on the front of the peg.
You're like, did you mix them up?
I'm trying to get at this drift behind all these tuner mud flops. You just take the one to the front. It's not fair to everybody else if you take a one from the back.
Not everyone knows they can look behind the one in the front. God.
Anyway, well, back on. Oh, right. Just like a little, actually, to answer the question. So, yeah, if there was a small local kind of toy collector thing, yes, I would check it out. But, you know, when he was talking about, like, so did you add the detail of, like, this one that the question named, like, intentionally staying small? Did you add that, or did he say that? Is that what they're really doing? Are they really intentionally staying small?
The guy who runs CybeCon, when I interviewed him, he basically said that his attendance levels, I can't remember the exact number, but he said basically the attendance levels he has now are all he wants, and...
So don't come.
Well, I mean, it's like, he's like, come if you want, but we're not going out of our way to try to attract, like, another couple hundred people every year. We're just doing our thing. It's like, it's basically like a local meetup, but there are a lot of people from neighboring towns who like to come to it.
Okay. It just, that seems like a weird stance to
take. Oh, yeah, it's not like literally, like, we go out of our way to ensure that our attendance remains at precisely 750 every single year we run it, or something like that.
If you didn't come last year, don't come.
Unless someone from last year doesn't come.
Yeah, then you could be on a list.
We have a waiting list, yeah. All right, I worded that poorly. Gog, how do you feel about smaller conventions and shows?
You know, I really hate that we're all kind of sounding elitist, like, oh, it's just a small convention.
I only go to ones with four digits of attendance.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. If there was a local, like Central Florida miniature Transformers convention, then I would probably make an effort to stop by. But one of the cool things about going to a convention like BotCon or TFCon or some of the other larger ones is you get to see people that you interact with every day. And that's a huge drawing point.
Mm-hmm.
Because like with BotCon, one of the main reasons why I go is because you guys go, and other people on the boards that I talk with. If I was to make a trek, you know, several hours away and be like, okay, let me look through a couple bins of old toys. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot here. And I mean, they would have to have something kind of unique or have some kind of drawing point in, and or at least a decent dealer room with people selling off collections and stuff. If there was a dude that had a couple of guys that had giant collections that they were selling off from all generations, that something like that might be worth it to pick up a couple of maybe older G1 figures or something, or maybe some older Beast Wars stuff, G2, in decent shape. And I knew he was going to have a lot to select from, you know, so even if there was something there I wasn't specifically looking forward to, maybe I could get a good deal on something cool. You know, something like that might draw me in, but to be honest, like, I mean, I don't think that I would make the trek to BotCon if I was going there and didn't know anyone myself, mm-hmm. at least not flying out to Pasadena. But I know so many people on the boards, and this is the only way that I get to see those folks. And that's the main drawing point. And at a smaller local convention, you know, you don't get that. And that's kind of a shame. But, I guess you could go out there and meet people if you're a socialite like Drew. But even he doesn't seem to be wanting to go to a Transformers convention to meet people. So. I'm not opposed to the idea. And if somebody made one, I would probably stop in to at least support it. But, you know, it doesn't have the draw for me that the larger conventions are large because there's so many people there. And when you have something like CybeCon, I guess, yeah, they're trying to avoid something like that. But at the same time, you know, I can't go to CybeCon and see all these people that I want to see. You're going to get that at the big three or whatever.
In the case of CybeCon, I think it's kind of like they have a different permutation of that, where it's like they're all a bunch of folks who all like to see each other. So their draw for CybeCon is they get to see their friends because they all kind of live in the area and meet up at the same place.
And then that kind of, I mean, while Seth was joking, it almost comes across to saying like, yeah, if you're not really in there, I mean, and I know they're not saying that, but it almost, the humor is almost spot on with saying like, yeah, if you're not really a part of our group and you haven't been coming, there's not really much of a reason for you to start coming now. And it almost wonders why you would take the time to advertise the convention, because it almost seems like they're there to see each other. There's not really a lot of reason for you to come other than to throw a couple bucks their way, or maybe, you know, have somebody there buying what they're selling. But
what I got out of it is that they're, a lot of them are also very social people, so they're all open to meeting new folks. But they're basically not throwing money into like, okay, how can we get some kind of sick exclusive, and how can we get some sick guests here and make people want to come here. It's more like, Transformers are cool, come here if you think that. And that's about the gist of it. Go listen to the convention prep. It's explained much better there than my sorry-ass recollections. Because that was a long time ago. It was months ago when we did that one. But
I did listen to that one, but also I've forgotten most of it. I do kind of remember him talking about how they're keeping it low-key kind of a deal, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah, speaking for myself,
not everybody wants to try to like be the big time thing.
Yeah, and if I had a show like CybeCon, like you know, in Victoria, I'd go to it. I was gonna try to get to CybeCon, and then I, you know, ran out of money due to the other things I was doing, and then really wanting to go to PAX and managing to make plans to go to PAX for a day on Sunday. But I am totally behind the smaller conventions, because that's also kind of the difference between, to a small degree, TFCon and BotCon, is BotCon is not the small convention at all. And TFCon is not a small convention anymore, but it still has many qualities small conventions have in terms of social activity. And a smaller show is definitely one where you'll have more time to sit down and get to know new people. At BotCon, you do not have time to just sit down and go like, hey, you over there, who's your favorite TerrorCon, you know? Because people are running all over the place, doing a million things at the same time. And that's the draw of BotCon. So smaller conventions offer a more social experience for those of you out there who are into a more social experience. And I am totally behind them, even if I don't really attend them that much. Because they don't have enough numbers for me. I'm a player. I'm a big timer, not some small timer. I need 4 digits. Need 4 digits and guests, so I can make them record lines for my YouTube channel like a pro. What's so funny? That's what I do.
Oh yeah, you do that too.
Question number 2 from Slayer's Hoop. Are there any lines you have completed, repaints and all, or are there any lines you want to complete, or are there any lines you plan to complete? Seth, I know you're a completist.
I've gotten close on a few things, like those book box style reissues that was coming out to Kara for a while. I only missed a couple of those. And now they're way too expensive to try to go back to get. Like, I missed a Sound Blaster and at least one other. I know Sound Blaster could go 3 digits nowadays. Including repaints, no, there's nothing I'm complete on. I'm mold complete on Masterpiece. But I guess that's as close as I am.
Are your repaint complete on Masterpiece?
No.
Oh.
No, I said mold complete. No.
I'm just double checking.
No, like if you count repaints, there's nothing that I'm complete on. That I could think of. I don't think so, no.
All right. Drew, is there anything you have completed, repaints and all, want to, you or plan it. To?
I got every alternator. Boom.
Ooh.
And Robots in Disguise, baby.
Oh, nicely done. So you've done it twice.
Did it twice. Back in the youth days. So yeah. Alternators was kind of one of those things where I'd buy like 2 of whatever one came out right then and there, so that if I had trouble getting the next one, I would make a trade. That's how I got Rodimus. That's how I got...
And Foresight.
That's smart.
Yeah, so that's how I got a few. I still have 2 Alternator Swerves, Mint and Seal Box, to trade for someone who needs them. So let me know. If someone's looking for Alternator Swerve, let me know.
Will you trade an Alternator Swerve for a Masterpiece Rodimus?
I will do that, and I will give you BotCon Charticons as well.
Cool.
So that's a friggin' deal.
Dude, they were already willing to give you just...
Oh, what? Oh, never mind. Well,
reel that back. Everyone, forget what you just heard.
Don't ruin this for me, you guys.
Someone's like, hey, man, I'll buy that off you for $20. And then you're like, no, only give me 2.
Now, you know what? You look like a nice guy. $5.
But only That's if I know gimmick. You're going to use this right.
Well, yeah, that's my whole gimmick. Plan,
I sell stuff to Empire for way less than it's worth. That's my thing. So don't bite my scene.
Yo, I'm the trader. I'm a trader nowadays. I'm just like, you want this? I kind of want that, but I don't want to pay for it. Here's this, and I just use stuff, including like the Chevy Swerve. That was a gift. That was a gift. Why would you trade that away? That was hilarious.
All right. Gog, have you completed anything, or do you plan to complete anything?
I actually did complete the 2006 Classics line, mini-cons and all. Not including the BotCon, because that wasn't part of Classics. That was BotCon, right? That's what I tell myself?
Yes.
Yes. It was not part of Hasbro Classics. It was part of...
Timelines.
Yeah. The whatever. So yeah, I did. I completed that, got everything. Granted, it was a pretty small line. I tried to complete the alternators, and there was a few. I just kind of gave up because I have every mold, but you know, when you're do I really need 3-pound repaints? I mean, no. And after a while, I realized that I was buying them just to say that I had them. And well, yeah, I kind of still do want them. After the movie came out, like the however many handful that I was missing, like doubled in price, and I was like, "Yeah, it's not worth it." And I know they've come down now, but I'm kind of over it already. I like the ones that I have, but and like Seth said, I was actually trying to complete the Takara TFC book box G1 reissues too, and I got more than halfway through those, and again, the prices just shot up, and it got to the point to where five of the ones that I was looking for were way over $100, and it was just like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then Encore started coming out, and I was just like, what's the point? Like, and I've just reached a point basic where I'm just like, I don't want to complete something just to say I completed it. I just want to, if I like it, I'll buy it. And if I don't, then I won't. And I think everybody hits that point eventually, but I mean, if I had more, it all just comes down to money in the end. And, you know, none of us have as much money as, you know, the more money you make, the more you spend. You never have enough. I mean, most people anyway, unless you're really self-disciplined, but
discipline. You know, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And his hobby.
Self-working.
There's plenty I'd love to complete, but not gonna have. I want to complete Master Force and Victory, and I don't know.
I want to complete the Transformers.
I want to complete the Lucky Draw.
Yes. I'm actually. I probably have completed Classics, and I may or may not have completed some other lines. Like I might have completed Beast Machines. I'm not actually sure what I'm missing on those ones. But the one I want to complete that I'm actually kind of close to completing is Animated. That is one of my goals. I do want to complete Animated sometime. Just because I when I realized how much of it I already had, I was like, it's not that far to complete it.
Sure.
And just leaving the Japanese one out, I mean the American Animated stuff. Especially if it's not going to be getting, like, you know, very... I mean, it's done, basically, outside of a few toys here and there. So that's kind of encouraging, because it's got a lid on it now. And that makes it a lot easier to keep track of. But that's one of mine. And like I said, I probably have completed Classics, and I may have completed Beast Machines. Maybe R.I.D., but I don't think I got any of the store exclusives, so I'm not sure.
If you completed Beast Machines and you did it at BotCon when you bought Cheetor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Cause Che? I was missing the... Oh, no, you're right. I didn't get Che, so I'm not done Beast Machines.
Oh, sorry to burst the bubble.
God damn it, Drew!
I was like, oh, Cheetor.
I was so proud of myself.
I'm sorry. This is why I don't go to small conventions, because people are like, fuck you, I thought I had it good.
Yeah, people are all happy about what they bought, and like, oh, you didn't get that. And they just throw what they bought on the ground and walk off.
Oh, you don't have the Dillo repaint? You are the worst.
There's one more question here, which is number 3. I heard Ratchet and Clank thrown about, so it begs the question, what video game series do you guys like? Now, I think one of us has some views on that kind of thing. Seth, do you know which one of us would be qualified to answer this question?
I don't know. You got like a DS or something, don't you? You
played. I got a whole DS,
like the original one.
No, like a DS a DS Lite, but it's in one piece. It still works.
Are you sure it's a DS and not one of those Nintendo Game and Watches?
Some of
those had two screens.
It's a Nintendo Game Boy DS.
Oh, well. You're advanced.
I know. Seth, what video game series do you like?
Man, that's like asking a parent which is their favorite child. There's so many. Except for that one kid. That kid. That was a mistake.
That kid.
That kid. I was going to make a joke, but it would probably be in too bad of a taste for some of our listeners. But it would have been hilarious to people who who like
just say it now, humor. We'll edit it out. When I say we, Evangelist will. I will do no work, but I will edit
it. I'll be thinking about it so much for the rest of the evening.
Anyway, no, there's certain franchises that I will definitely play every new game for, like Halo, until 343 Industries screws the whole thing up. At least until then, I will play every Halo game. Gears of War is awesome. The Grand Theft Auto series is fantastic. I really love Dead Rising, and so far Dead Rising Case Zero is a good time. So, I don't, man, just name any number of...
What about Ratchet and Clank?
Was this specifically about Ratchet and Clank?
No, but I just see the name sitting there in the question, so...
well, I wasn't going to say this in front of Paul Lighting, but I've never played a Ratchet and Clank game.
Oh,
like right. when I was walking him over to the hotel room before we recorded that, and he's running down this list of games that he had been in, it was like all games I've never played, and then he gets to Diablo. I'm all, dude, I love Diablo. That game's awesome. But yeah, there's a bunch of or at least one other Transformer guy doing game voices. McConaughey, who did Trax and Cosmos. Oh,
yeah, isn't he the voice of the agency?
Yeah, and what? Oh yeah, I started playing Red Faction Guerrilla, and I'm pretty sure he's in there too.
I played some StarCraft 2 recently, and I haven't verified it yet, but I've definitely heard Paul Aiding in that too.
Man.
Paul Eiding's the man, by the way.
He likes improv.
He likes improv. Wrote happy birthday on my wall. Name dropper.
Drew, what video game series do you like?
Oh, you mean besides the wonderful Ratchet and Clank series?
Yes, besides Ratchet and Clank. I mean, we all love Ratchet and Clank.
This may disappoint some of our listeners and some of the Idol 11 fans, but I don't own a video game system.
Gasp!
Yeah, I sold my. I had a Wii and I sold it to make some money to move out here, and so I don't have anything. I mean, when I had the Wii, Mario Galaxy was a big favorite, and then in college, Madden and the X-Men Legends series was a big favorite. However, I was thinking about it and kind of took some time to develop my thoughts pre-recording this, mm-hmm. and I realized that maybe my favorite franchise might be that one where Seth and Dan had at BotCon, where they made little characters out of you and me, and we had to fight each other.
Dojo.
Rooster Bolt! Rooster Bolt!
Rooster Bolt! It's so much fun, because it's such a simple, easy game, but at the same time, it's your friends fighting each other, and you can make the back... Like, that game blew me away. I wanted to get a DS just to have that game. It was so much fun. I think I stole yours for like 2 hours one night, Seth. I was just like, I gotta play this. Hold on.
I remember when we were waiting for GOG to get his iPhone 4. That I heard Rooster Bolt and Boss Coffee hundreds of times.
Boss Coffee.
GOG, what's your favorite video game series right now?
Well, my favorite video game series is probably Half-Life. I'm a huge Valve fanboy. I love the way that they tell stories, and definitely. I like that series a lot. Please, Gabe Newell, give us some information about Episode 3.
Never.
sometime this century, sometime before I die, just at least.
Well, didn't you see that news thing where they're like Half-Life is dabbling in seeing what it would be like to use the DVDs for movies or something? I can't remember what that news story
was. And they said they're just dabbling in making a Half-Life movie or something. They're looking at it.
But obviously that's Half-Life 3. I'm sure no one's jumped to that conclusion yet.
Yeah, but that's probably my favorite series. I'm also I like the Metroid games. I just bought the new one, Other M, yesterday, and I'm really liking it. Like the Final Fantasy games for the most part. I haven't played the new one yet, but yeah. I mean, there's probably a billion, but those are some of my favorites.
And how did both of us forget to say Mass Effect?
I was about to say.
I thought about that as you were talking and forgot about it again. But there's only two games, but both of the Mass Effect games are amazing. And
I was about to say right now, my current favorite video game series is Mass Effect. Granted, I just finished number two the other week, but it's the one right now where I am ready to buy another game of it. I am ready to buy any of its DLC. It's the only game right now where I'm totally locked, dead set in on finishing it up and then having a few more playthroughs just because. Marvelous games, and everyone should try them. People don't like them, that's fine, but if you haven't even tried it, you owe it to yourself to at least have an opinion on it, because it's really good stuff.
If you like space opera, then play that game. If you hate outer space nonsense and aliens and stuff, then you get a pass. If you hate spacemen, you get a pass.
If you hate spacemen, at least give it a try to see if you only hate certain kind of spacemen, because it's a very special kind of spacemen. It's like, it harkens back to everything I love about stuff like Babylon 5, Next Generation, Wing Commander, all those series where they don't make a big deal out of their universe. They don't try to tell, you know, they don't try to tell Lord of the Rings in space. They give you a universe that you can live in. It's good stuff.
They kind of tried to do Lord of the Rings in space with Battle.
I mean, okay, vaguely.
I just marathoned the entire series over the last, like, 2 months.
not to, like, a crazy, like, Riddick degree, though, although I do love Riddick, and I'd play a Riddick MMO any day. But, I you know, if you haven't played Mass Riddick. Effect, at least play Mass Effect 2 if you're only going to pick one, and just have a go at it, and then if you don't like it, then don't talk to me. I mean that in the nicest way, of course.
But seriously, stay away from
me. Seriously, I don't want to
pretend I'm a small town convention and just don't even come around.
Pretend I'm a spaceman because you hate spacemen. So I don't exist anymore. Slayer's Hoop goes on to say, thanks. And then he writes his name. Guys, I think we should talk about some movie spoilers. What movie is it for again?
Transformers. Chronicles of Riddick 2?
Chronicles of Riddick 2.
Dookie Kwan. Already that movie?
The Riddicking.
Chronicles of Riddick 2, The Riddicking,
Two Riddicking.
Part A, Sequence B, Fourth Movement.
Two Riddicking, Two Furious. go on.
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. You have been warned. Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity.
So
someone wrote down that idea. Like, note to self, write that movie.
We got Hardcore Eddie's character description. At least we got it from Hardcore Eddie himself. We got it from the Coltrane. Coltrane says, I'm not sure if you know, but Transformers 3 has just eclipsed Titanic as the largest budgeted film ever. This is how he talks, by the way. 400 million is still going north. We are totally taking over downtown Chicago. The city is buzzing and it's crazy around here. I play Hardcore Eddie. Tyrese's character, Robert Epps, calls me in. I was in a war with his father. I always told his dad I'd look out for him and watch his back. I am doing all the heavy shooting, rocket launchers, and kicking ass. Hardcore Eddie is an old school soldier who's seen it all and done it all. I am just kicking ass and blowing up shit. Michael Bay just created such a great character. Hardcore Eddie. Straight from the source.
That impression made me a little uncomfortable.
No, it didn't make me uncomfortable because I'm glad to see that Vangelis has popped out of this mode where every impression he does sounds like Christopher Walken.
For one episode! For a quarter!
Christopher Walken. They said, Dog, Christopher Walken.
Well, you kind of sound like Christopher Walken.
No.
did you all think I was going to do Christopher Walken for that? Do you
I did. Actually.
Do you think that little of me? Good God. Good God.
I listened to that episode this morning and I already had forgotten about the Christopher Walken thing.
That hurts my feelings.
Good.
Good.
So the nice thing about this news story is we get the picture that we've all wanted, the picture that proves that there's going to be something to look for in Transformers 3, and that is the Coltrane and Tyrese Gibson both looking up at the sky and then down at each other again, only Tyrese is shorter than he is, so he's just looking up at him. And that made me excited. So what do you guys think about Hardcore Eddie? Is he going to be the next Human Alliance toy? Seth?
Probably, if they keep Human Alliance going. But, I mean, the Coltrane, he's a big man. He might not be able to fit in just any old car. They're going to have to be very choosy on who he comes with. And that would be lame if they did and he was just as tall as anybody else. Because that dude really is big.
He's as tall as Shia LaBeouf.
No, it was a Shia repaint. I just didn't even bother.
Oh, man.
Coltrane would flip some stuff over if that happened.
They just filed Shia's hair down so he looks bald. They just bust out some sandpaper, and that's the only alteration they made to the mold. But, I mean, there's tons of times where, like, you hear somebody on the radio, you've never seen their picture before, you only know them from the voice, and you listen to this radio station, you hear that DJ all the time, and you start to develop an image in your head of what they must look like, and then you see a picture of them, and they look nothing like you imagined. That was the opposite with Coltrane. Like, when I saw a video with that guy, it was like, he is that character. They typecast that guy. And apparently that's how he acts, too. I mean, he doesn't go woo-woo and or anything. But
squish-squash.
Yeah, he's just a big, brash, boisterous guy. So, I mean, it's got to be fun. If his scenes aren't fun because he's just being, like, over the top and all the time, then it's going to be a bummer, and then Babe really blew it.
Well, I mean,
why else do you cast that guy?
If you have the Coltrane, right, as a guy called Hardcore Eddie, and he's hanging out with military Tyrese Gibson, I don't see how it could possibly fall flat, unless, like, they're specifically told and directed, do not act like yourselves. Like, at all. So I'd see it. Gog, how do you feel about Hardcore Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I've never played any of the Gears of War games, so I really don't know that much about him or his acting style, but from everything that it sounds like, I mean, he's basically been cast as his Gears of War character, so he seems to have a lot of love in when people refer to his character, so, I mean, I've even heard people say that they didn't want Starscream to get killed by a human, but if he's got to get killed, it might as well be by the Coltrane. So, I mean, I've heard that from multiple people multiple times. So, it says, I mean, it sounds like, you know,
you're going to be so disappointed when you finally play Gears of War, then. This has been built up too much.
I don't know. When Coltrane makes his appearance in Gears 2, I mean, that was pretty rad.
Yeah, I guess.
Was that his first appearance? Was in the second one?
No,
he's in the first one, but he's not in the second one right away. And when he shows up, it's like when he showed up, I was like, yeah! Because it was like, just the timing of it was great, the setting was great, how he comes in was awesome.
Did they make a Nika toy of him yet?
Probably. I think I saw pictures of one. Hmm. I think.
I've seen like a billion Marcus and Dom's, but I don't know if I've ever seen a Coltrane.
They aren't as cool as the Coltrane.
Wait, all those characters are kind of cool. I mean, even Baird, who is like the biggest douchebag of the whole bunch. Like, I would hate to not have Baird in one of those games.
Well, I'm more interested in Baird and Coltrane returning than, you know, because you know Marcus Fenix comes back, and now you know Dom comes back as, oh, God, my wife.
But like, I was all emo, and he can't be bothered to shave.
Yeah. So. But I mean, I don't mind Dom and Marcus. It's just I like Coltrane and Baird a lot more. I guess because they're cartoonier. But.
Yeah, well, there's some funny stuff about Marcus, but Dom, I think they kind of wrecked Dom.
Yeah, I'm happy Dom is not in Transformers 3.
Yeah, Dom was like the neutral, kind of more down-to-earth, realistic character, while everybody else was kind of crazy. But now he's just kind of like, oh, what a downer. What a bummer this guy is.
Like I said.
Why are they hanging out with this guy?
He would not be good as Hardcore Eddie. Drew, how do you feel about Hardcore Eddie?
Yo, he's going to be awesome. I'm pumped. I've spoiled myself for that description. He might be my new favorite character. So good on him. I'm ready to embrace a Transformers character instead of being like, that was so bad. Why were you even there? So I hope it's enjoyable.
Well, you know who didn't find his description very enjoyable? It was director Michael Bay. Let me read you the story. Director Michael Bay denies the $400 million rumor surrounding the budget of Transformers 3. He comments, quote, Lester has no clue about as much other than to try to get internet hype. He's been on the movie a total of 10 days. The guy is just letting his ass talk. Movie is $ just above revenge. He knows not to talk about this movie. All I'm going to say is, you step on the Coltrane's toes, you're going to get your toes run over by the Coltrane. So I'm not sure what Michael Bay thinks he's going to get away with here. I mean, he's a pretty powerful man, but you know, you get on the Coltrane's ass about something, and the Coltrane's already on your ass while you're trying to get on his ass. That's all I'm going to say. It's quantum, you know?
Oh.
The moment you go for his ass, he's already on yours.
Like that picture of a snake eating another snake?
Coltrane is the Ouroboros of getting on ass and kicking it.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy you knew exactly what that was.
Seth, do you think Michael Bay has just stepped up to a wall he cannot climb?
I don't know. Like, this dude is kind of, he seems like the kind of guy that would exaggerate, like blow things up. So I'm sure that's kind of more what was happening. But I don't think this is going to result in a Michael Bay versus Megan Fox kind of a situation where all of a sudden people are getting kicked out of the movie.
Well, the thing is, if he tries to kick Coltrane out of the movie, all of a sudden it's going to be director Coltrane, I think.
Well, because then you're not just messing, but, and it's horrible that we don't ever refer to this guy by his real name. It's really kind of terrible, but I mean, you know, he's got a Cliff Bleszinski on his back. You're getting his back. So actually maybe on his back, because Cliff Bleszinski is kind of a little guy. So maybe he rides Coltrane around like a, what was that? Master Blaster.
Are you trying to tell me that Human Alliance, this guy, Big Eddie, is going to be the Transformer and he's going to have a smaller Epps with him? Oh my
yes.
God.
And they're going to rule Thunderdome.
Drew, Michael Bay, hey. He's trying to whitewash the windows of Coltrane Towers. Do you think that bucket of whitewash is going to end up on his own head?
I mean, they've been in Chicago a really long time. They keep like saying, "Hey, we're going to stay for a few days." I'm not entirely sure that they haven't spent a few extra $100 million here or there. So I'm not totally going to discredit. I'm sure. So I don't know that it necessarily went over $400 million. But I will imagine that someone said, yeah, we're like the $375 million mark. Whoa. And you just round up at that point. Because who wants to say you worked on a $375 million movie when you can round up and say $400 million? Am I right?
Absolutely right. Gog, do you think Michael Bay is laying down the tracks for the Coltrane towards the station of his own oblivion?
Well, what's funny is the news article on the front page of TFW2005.com edited the quote from Michael Bay a little bit, because while you guys were talking, I just clicked over to the Michael Bay's website, and it's kind of funny because someone posted the TFW news story that we were just talking about Lester, and used the link to that news article, and Michael Bay starts it off by saying Lester is a moron. And it just, I don't know. He says, Lester's a moron. He's just talking out of his ass. And that part of calling him a moron wasn't on our news article. But so
maybe this is going to end up like Megan Fox.
Except that I think that Coltrane would win this fight myself.
So I thought that was kind of funny. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, you know, okay, end of the day, Coltrane probably is pumping it up, because I think Coltrane's the kind of guy where, like, when he drinks a bottle of milk, he'll tell someone, like, I just drank over 400 million liters of milk. You know,
cows.
Like, just drank 400 million cows of milk. But I would certainly not.
He's American and wouldn't say liters.
Yeah, yes, he would. Coltrane uses metric, you know?
Metric, baby! Woo!
But I certainly would, you know, I am not someone who's going to tell someone to have discretion about what they say, unless they're talking about Coltrane. And I don't know. I would not have called Coltrane a moron unless Coltrane was standing behind him going, like, you should tell him I'm a moron. Do what I tell you, you know. Maybe he was.
Do what I say.
So, controversy abounds, ladies and gentlemen, on the set of Transformers 3. And speaking of controversy, there was a big blue truck. It's being called a stunt truck for CGI, a reference plate, if you will. But I've been hearing rumblings that it might be something else. Seth?
No, that everyone knows that that's going to be Pipes. Pipes is in the movie.
Pipes was blue, right?
Blue truck. Blue trucks are automatically Pipes.
Yeah.
So are you excited about Pipes getting into Transformers 3?
No, I'm fan-raging about it. Kind of pissed.
You wanted to keep him pure?
Yeah, they didn't use the right kind of truck. I mean, Pipes is a flat nose truck, and they already blew it with Prime, so they gotta get Pipes right.
That is kinda unfortunate. Do you think that Pipes might be Megan Fox's cameo?
No. In fact, that's what happens to Michaela. Pipes is sent to assassinate her. Because, like we've seen, like, on the sets, like, there's graffiti, like, Autobots go home. It's because the mass media in America, like, learned of the Autobots' assassination plot to take out Michaela. That's how it starts.
You should have prefaced that with another spoiler, because now you might have spoiled the movie for people who thought that they'd spoiled everything they needed to know about spoilers, and now they know more than they thought they needed to know.
If people are worried about getting spoiled in the spoiler section, then that's levels of ridiculousness that I don't want to deal with.
Good man. Drew, how do you feel about Pipes being in Transformers 3?
I love it. A big Pipes fan. Was my first Transformer, so really excited to see Pipes.
Good man. Are you going to be picking up the movie leader class Pipes?
I'm actually just going to repaint my movie 1 liter Night Watch Prime. So that should be good.
You're gonna kit bash it.
I've really been using him as leader Pipes for the past few years, so this will, I mean, just be a simple no brainer.
I'll double check on the Pipes Facebook group to see if someone's brought that up as a solution.
Yeah, I don't know if they have.
I'll check that out after we're done recording. Gog, how do you feel about Pipes being in Transformers 3?
I like it. I also have a bit of information that I don't think anybody here knows about. So I'll go ahead and tell you guys now that there's going to be a spinoff to this movie, and it's going to actually be not only a Transformers sequel, but it's going to be the sequel to Hosefinger. It's going to be Pipefinger.
Ooh. Pipefinger?
Yeah.
I heard that they starring had a script Pipes. For that, and they trashed it.
So it's going to be a crossover. As far as I know, it's still got the green light.
Do you mean we're going to be getting and Transformers crossovers Pipefinger?
Well, see, that was where Lester was wrong, because he says that the movie has a budget of $400 million. They actually knocked it down to $300 million, because $100 million of that is going to Pipefinger.
Does that mean, so is Coltrane in Pipefinger?
I think he is Pipefinger, isn't he?
Or is Baird in Pipefinger?
I didn't want to spoil that part, but yeah, Drew has it right. Lester is Pipefinger. It's going to be Pipes with Human Alliance, Pipes with Pipefinger.
Okay, well, you know, listeners, look forward to this. Make sure you tell your friends. And if you don't see this added into some kind of repository of information, you should probably do the right thing and put it in there so we all can disseminate this info, because this is how journalism works on the internet. We are the internet press. So listen to us and obey. That's the spoiler section. I hope you enjoyed it. And this has been the podcast. So thank you all for listening. Thank all of you guys for coming by. You make every day a special snowflake in the blizzard of life. And
speaking of special snowflake, I was talking to a guy today who said that he passed a kidney stone that looked like a Chinese star.
Speaking of special snowflake,
is it like a special edition My Little Pony? Wasn't Snowflake a My Little Pony?
It's so obvious. Oh, how did I not think of that? Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been Vangelis. That's been Seth. That's been GogDog. That has been Druido. And we will catch you later. So good night, and good luck.
Good luck.
Squish squash, squish squash.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.